this week, October 1st, 2013, on The Digital Story. The new low-pro urban reporter photo bag. Does the iPhone 5S camera live up to its hype? And Ziploc bags. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm so happy to be here with you today. I have three terrific topics to cover. I'm going to start out with the low-pro urban reporter, a shoulder bag that is near and dear to my heart, and you'll find out why in just a few moments. Then I'm also going to talk about the iPhone 5S, and in particular, its camera, because there has been a lot of discussion and a fair amount of hype around the camera in the iPhone 5S. I've had it for a week now. I've been shooting with it, and I want to give you a report on that, mainly because a lot of people consider this camera a replacement for a small compact. And is it worthy or is it not? Well, we're going to talk about that in the second segment. And then we're going to wrap up today with a tip. And this is a tip for this time of year, at least this time of year when you're north of the equator. And it's the Ziploc bag tip. And I'm going to tell you why I think is an item that every photographer should have in his or her bag. So that's what we're going to discuss today. And then we'll take care of a little virtual camera club business after the three segments. So I want to start out now, though, with the low pro urban reporter. There are three sizes of this bag, the 150, the 250, and the 350. I have been carrying the 150, which I consider the nimble photographer version of the three bags. Now, why am I so darn excited about this bag? Well, I'll tell you. This is a shoulder bag that is light, it's stylish, it's discreet, and it has a nice capacity. Depending on the size that you get, it will either hold an iPad or a 13-inch laptop. The bigger one holds a 13-inch laptop. The one that I'm carrying, the 150, holds both a full-size iPad, the 10-inch model, or an iPad mini. And actually, if you wanted to, you could carry one of each. It will accommodate both. I use the 150 for basically my compact system camera bag, which means I'm carrying my Olympus OMD in there. But I also have it configured so that it will accommodate my Canon 70D with the 40 millimeter pancake on there. So I have one of each. And I like both of those cameras for different reasons. I'm carrying a full-size iPad right now. I keep the mini pretty much on the nightstand these days. It's what I use around the house. But I'm carrying the full-size iPad right now for my work. And as you know, as you listen to podcasts, I go back and forth on which one to carry. I like them both, obviously. Getting into the specifics of the bag itself, the thing about this bag is that it's made out of a fabric that is very soft. It feels like a cotton fabric. It feels like a cotton weave or maybe a cotton blend. Probably feels more like a cotton blend. It's very soft. It's very light. The bag does not weigh very much. If you have been exposed to the Pro Messenger, which is a bag that Low Pro came out with about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, that was a high-tech fabric also, but it was very coarse on the outside. And it's also a heavy bag. This bag is not like that. This bag is very soft on the outside. It's still a high-tech fabric. It's still weather-resistant and so forth, but it's very soft on the outside, and it's much, much lighter. The other thing that they did that I like so much is that all of the straps and the enclosures and everything, they're all either have leather touches. Like, for instance, there's a handle that you use to pick up the bag. In addition to the shoulder strap, the handle has a nice leather grip. The zipper pulls have leather touches on them. On both of the side pockets, there are two side pockets. They have metal buttons that you snap. And then what's really cool, I got the bag here. That's the noise that you hear. So it has a metal button, just like that. And it is a one-handed button snap. In other words, it's designed so that you don't need two hands to snap it close, which I really like. And then I'll unsnap it right here. It's nice and it's very secure when you snap it. Now, when you open up the top flap, this is a kind of a messenger style shoulder bag. You have a zippered pocket in front here. And then inside you have lots of organizing space. So you have two other zippered pockets on the inside of the front flap. You have, little nylon stretchy pockets, all that. And what I use the front pocket for is to organize cables, cleaning cloths, filters, things of that sort. Now, when the flap comes down over the top here, there's no Velcro on the outside of this bag. What they've done is they have leather loops here with button snaps on them that go through like a metal D-ring on the bottom of the bag, and there's two of them. Now, the way that I usually carry the bag is that I have one of the two attached, and then I can still pull back the top flap a little bit to get into the bag, but if the bag takes a tumble, my camera gear doesn't fall out. That's just sort of something that I adapted as I used the bag over the last month or so. Inside the bag, there's a dedicated sleeve for an iPad, so you can keep your iPad nice and safe and sound. And then it comes with a camera box, a foam camera box that actually has a lid that goes into the main compartment, and the camera box is removable. So you can pull out the camera box and just have a soft bag with the protection for your iPad, because that sleeve stays in there. You can just have a soft bag, and you could use the bag in a way where maybe you just have your lenses and lens pouches, things like that. And then you've really got a very soft sort of malleable bag that you can carry with you. Now, I actually did take the lens, the camera box out of the bag, because for me, I thought it was a little too narrow and it restricted the depth, the width of the bag in a way where I couldn't quite carry my OMD the way that I wanted to. So what I did was I took out the camera box, and then I'm actually using the camera box from the Passport sling in this bag, and it only runs about 2/3 width of the bag, which gives me like this whole free compartment without a camera box. And that's actually where I slide in the Canon 70D. So the point of this is that this is a bag you can really configure a lot of ways. And now with all the bags having some sort of removable camera box, chances are you either have a pouch or a camera box or something to where you can design any of these bags the way that you want on the inside. So then the flap goes down, and it looks like just like a nice discreet messenger bag. It's a bag that you can take into a meeting, a client meeting, or wear to a wedding or something like that, because it has such good looks. It's not like carrying a camera backpack around or a nylon, camera bag with a bunch of zippers and Velcro and stuff on the outside. It really looks like it's something that is a designer level. And it is an urban bag. It's a bag for around the city. It's not something you're going to go backpacking with, right? Now, I usually carry it over my shoulder when I'm working, over just one shoulder, and then I'll wear it cross-shoulder messenger style when... Let's say that I'm gonna take a long walk. Let's say I have to go 4 blocks to the bus or something like that. Now, in the back here, there's what I call a document pouch, and I keep power bars and stuff like that in there. You can keep papers in there, but it has a zipper on the bottom of the document pouch that you can open it up, and then you have a sleeve that you can use to slide the bag over. A roller bag that is what we call a trolley sleeve. And then so the bag will just slide right over that handle, and it'll be nice and secure sitting on top of your roller. This can be really good for airport you know, when you have to go from terminal A to terminal C kind of thing. Then you don't have to have the bag on your shoulder. You can, it'll go on the roller and it'll just stay right there because the trolley sleeve keeps it nice and tight. It can also be if you use a roller camera storage, a roller camera bag. And then, you know, you have this bag on top with, you know, some of your miscellaneous items. I have seen some photographers use the larger Urban Reporter here for lighting, and then they have their camera gear in a roller, and then they have the two together via the trolley sleeve. So it is just a bag that feels good. It feels good. It looks good. I like all the everything is either metal or snaps or leather or this, you know, this wonderful texture. So I'm carrying the 150, which I think is a very good bag for compact system cameras. The 250, I think, is a good bag for people with DSLR kits. And the 350, I got to tell you, is just very big. And I think if you load up a 350 and you put it on your shoulder is going to get tired. That's my personal opinion. I think the 350, a loaded 350 is going to be too heavy for practical use. Maybe if you just use the trolley sleeve and you keep it on top of a roller all the time, then I think it would be fine. But I think most people are going to be most comfortable with the 150 or the 250, the 150 being the compact system and the 250 being for DSLRs. Now, you may be, you know, this bag just came out last Friday. And you may be wondering, well, if this bag just came out last Friday, then how have you been carrying one for over a month? And that's sort of interesting. I'll give you just a little behind-the-scenes thing here on how bags are made and produced. And it's kind of interesting. I personally love behind-the-scenes stuff, and that's one of the things I like about having these different clients and being exposed to all these different products and little micro-worlds everywhere. In the low-pro world, what they do is the bags are designed in California. They're at the main office, actually, in Petaluma, and they go through a pretty extensive review process, as you would imagine, because there's a, you know, there's a big investment here to actually produce one of these bags and market it and so forth. The designers, actually, they draw up concepts. You know, that's the first couple rounds is just looking at things on paper on a computer screen. And then once the bag gets to a certain level of, this is looking pretty good, then they actually have industrial sewing machines there in the design area, and they actually will stitch a bag together. And that's very impressive. I mean, you know, the first time I saw that, I go, wow, you know, that is good. Because this is, you know, you look at the pieces before it's sewn together, and you go, what is this? And then, boom, next thing you know, like an hour later, you have a pretty good-looking camera bag. Complete with inserts, zippers, the whole deal. I mean, they do the whole thing. So then usually we go through a few rounds of that, and the modifications are made based on, you know, the meetings around the bag with the designers and, you know, with management and so forth. Once the design has been approved, then that design is sent to the factory. And, of course, they've already been working on getting the various materials over to the factory, which is a whole, you know, another part of the process. So the materials are either there already or they're on their way. The design goes over. Now, the factory actually has a samples room. So they have the main production area, and then they have a samples room. In that samples room is where they will make probably about 24 hand-stitched samples, but to the same specifications as the bags that are going to come off the production line. And they do those samples ahead of time, usually a couple months ahead of time. And then they're shipped to the main office. And there we can use what is basically the same bag that's going to come off the production line for testing, for field testing. We can seed it to photographers for them to use, get their feedback. We use it for photography so that all the photography is ready to go when the bag is released. You know, all those various reasons. So now on bags that I'm going to be evangelizing, I usually get one of those early bags. You have to lobby for it. They just don't, you know, say, hey, Derek, your bag is here. It's more like, I want to test that bag. You know, what do I have to do to get my hands on it kind of thing. And so, for instance, on this Urban Reporter, this 150, I have one of those samples. I've probably had it now for about 6 weeks or so. And that is what I've been using. And then that way, when the bag is released, I know all the ins and outs of it. I could tell you everything there is to know about this bag because I've been using it in real life. And it's you know, and if you put the bag that I have that came out of the samples room next to a bag that you bought off, let's say, Lowpro.com or B&H or whatever, you would not be able to tell the difference. You would not. The only time there's ever a difference is if there's a last-minute design change, then that last-minute design change will be in the production bag and not in the samples bag. In the case of the Urban Reporter, there have been no last-minute changes, so the bag I have is pretty much the bag that you will receive. Now, I'm going to keep, even though now that we've released the bag, I'm going to keep using it because every now and then there's a bag that just really sings to me and it becomes, you know, the bag that I want to use all the time. The DSLR Video Fast Pack was one of those bags, the 150. I still use that bag an awful lot. And this Urban Reporter is definitely one of those bags. This is my everyday bag. And what I have in it right now is I have the 10-inch iPad. I have an OMD with a couple lenses, three lenses. And then I have the Canon 70D with the 40 millimeter on there. I've got the small Canon 270 EX2 flash, the wireless one. So I have a wireless setup. And then, of course, I have, you know, a few cables, batteries, you know, filters, all that sort of stuff. And it all just fits in there so nicely. Now, again, I've modified the interior a bit for my taste, but I just do that. I very rarely use a bag the way it comes off the assembly line. You know, and especially now, they're so easy to modify because they have the removable camera boxes. So then you can take out the camera box from one bag and put it in another bag and, you know, just get the thing exactly the way you want. And in all honesty, that's a process I really enjoy, is configuring the bag. It'll take me easily a week to get the bag the way that I want. I'll take a first stab at configuring it, carry it around for a day or so and go, no, you know, I think I really want this in here. I don't really need that in there. Reconfigure. Usually after about a week, then I'll have the contents the way that I want in the positions that I want for everyday use. Once I get that, then that's the way it usually stays. And with this bag, you know, I've got it exactly the way that I want, and I have it with me all the time. So anyway, that is the Urban Reporter bag. It is really terrific. If you're looking for a nice, good-looking, stylish shoulder bag that also can be carrying messenger style, and you like things like buttons and snaps and leather pulls and things like that, you're not really so much into the whole Velcro scene on the bag. You don't mind having to snap and unsnap a button to secure the flap, things like that, then I would seriously look at this bag. I love it. So I'll have links to it, to the 150 and the 250. Those are the two that I'm recommending. In the show notes, you can just go over there, click on them, and then those will take you to one of my affiliate sites. And of course, that always helps out the podcast. So, okay, so that is the Lowpro Urban Reporter. Wow, I love it. It's sweet. Okay, let's do the second story here. Let's talk about the iPhone 5S camera. So, wow, a lot of ballyhoo around this, and for good reason. So there's a report that came out recently that the camera in a smartphone is one of the top three reasons why people buy a specific model. And sometimes it's a top two reason. The top one reason being the brand itself. That's usually the number one driver. The number two driver is often the the camera, the quality of the camera. Now, that's going to be particularly important for our audience here, right? Because we're a bunch of photographers. And so, you know, we're not going to spend $199 or $299 on a device that has a camera if it isn't a good camera, right? Otherwise, you know, we'll find a model that does have a good camera and, you know, gravitate towards that. So Apple knows this. Samsung knows this. Nokia knows this. Sony knows this. HTC knows this. Motorola knows this. They all know this. And they're all really, you know, focusing on the camera. So Apple really, on the new iPhone, the 5S, they put a lot of effort into the camera, a lot of thought into it, and they're doing a lot of marketing hype around it. And one of the biggest things that they're dealing with is that they kept the resolution at 8 megapixels at a time when there's a little bit of a megapixel war in smartphone cameras. I mean, the Nokia Lumia, and the Samsung, what is it, the S4, Galaxy S4, you know, they all have more megapixels. The Sony, the Xperia, more megapixels. So, you know, Apple has a clear idea on what they want to do with the sensor and so forth. And even though I think that idea makes a lot of sense, which is, yes, make the sensor a little bit bigger, keep the resolution the same, and that allows you to have larger photo sites on the sensor, which makes for better light gathering, at least in theory. But, you know, that's not an easy story to tell to the mass public. I think to our audience, we were already ahead of that because we're already looking at that in compact cameras and so forth. We're already thinking about that, those sort of things. But to the general public, it's probably not an easy sell. And then, of course, there is, well, does it really work out to where you get better image quality? If you're going to give up that resolution, if you're going to have an 8-megapixel camera instead of a 12 or 20 or 40, do you actually get the better image quality? And I think that's a good question. Now, with the iPhone 5S, the way that that works out is, I think when you're out in, you know, based on what I've been shooting, when you're out in everyday life, you're outside, you're taking pictures and so forth, you don't really get a bump in image quality because of the sensor. Where you start to notice the difference is when the lighting goes down. And, you know, this is a way that we shoot with our smartphones a lot. We are indoors a lot. And I think designing a smartphone that shoots well indoors, I think the Samsung smartphones shoot well indoors also. I think that's a good idea. That's a way that we use these devices a lot. And that's where you start to see some of the payoff with the iPhone 5S is when you start shooting at lower light levels. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I have 6 things here that really jump out at me after using the camera and the iPhone 5S for a week. And I thought I'd just review those, depending on where you are right now, if you're thinking about a new camera phone, or if people are asking you what they should do, which I'm sure happens all the time. I just wanted to, you know, share my thoughts with you on this. So one of the things I really like about the 5S is the user interface with the camera app. Now, of course, this is iOS 7, but it's really iOS 7 married to the hardware. And the two of them together are just fantastic. It's very easy to use. This is a very easy to use camera. And in fact, when I read the review in USA Today, where they compared 3 cameras, the Nokia and I believe the Samsung S4, what the reviewer said was, I didn't think I was going to like the iPhone 5S the best going into it. But because it was so easy to use and because it performed so well, it sort of won me over. And so as my favorite bottom line camera, he picked that, even though if you do really large blow-ups, the Nokia with a better resolution had a slight edge in resolution and probably in sharpness on large blow-ups. But he said the iPhone 5S is extremely sharp and I get, you know, a very nice experience. So he gave the nod to the 5S. I agree with that very nice experience. I think the app is very easy to use, and I love it. So, you know, that is definitely a point in the camera's favor. The slow motion video, I've been testing that and playing with it, and it is cool. And, you know, it plays back in slow motion on your phone. And then I uploaded one of the videos to YouTube directly from the phone. And I'll put that sample in the show notes so you can watch it. Or you can just go to the Digital Story channel on YouTube and watch it there. And the slow motion was retained, which I was really happy to see. Now, if you take that file, you copy it to your computer, and say you open an iMovie, it plays at regular speed. But all the frames are there. All the frames are there. And in a way, this is actually even cooler. So then what you can do is just select a section of the video. And then there's a command in iMovie and Final Cut both, where you can just say, you know, play at 25% speed. And then it plays in that same slow motion without frame drop, because all the frames are there, as you saw on your iPhone. So now you have the whole video, and you can just choose what parts are slow motion. And of course, the classic illustration would be, let's say someone diving into the water. You can have the first part of the dive in regular speed, and then right when they're hitting the water, you could select that section, play that at 25% speed. That goes slow motion. And then maybe when the person goes to resurface or whatever, when they hit the water again coming up, then you play that at regular speed, right? Stuff like that. So this is really nice, and the quality is amazing. So I'm very impressed with the whole slow motion, and especially now that I understand I could use it in conjunction with other video on my computer and really control where the slow motion is. So I think that is a big deal. And because the processors on the iPhone 5S are so powerful, it can really handle this. This is 120 frames a second it's capturing in HD. If you just stop and think about that for a minute, 120 frames per second in HD, that is a lot of data, and it can handle it. It's pretty darn impressive. The other thing I really like, or another thing that I really like, the panoramas are amazing. Now, I thought the panoramas were amazing on my iPhone 4S, and they are. But Apple has taken it to a new level with the 5S, something that they call dynamic exposure. And basically, again, this has to do with that processor. When you've got a really buff processor, you can do these sort of things. As you're exposing the panorama, as you're sweeping around, the camera phone is measuring the light and so forth, and it's adjusting the exposure as you sweep so that the final product looks great, right? You know, a lot of times with panoramas, you have a really bright area and a really dark area, maybe a rough transition when you move from one to the next. This is really beautiful. So the dynamic exposure in the panorama is a big deal, and it's fantastic. The True Tone flash, where you have the amber and white LED used in conjunction with one another. Again, the camera's measuring the scene and then using proportions of the amber and white to give you a very nice look. It works, and it's beautiful. Super fast performance. Just firing up the camera, using the camera, burst mode. It is fast, fast, fast. You pull it out of your pocket and be shooting right away. It's really beautiful that way. And then finally, it's just fun. It is a fun camera. And I know this sounds weird for a feature, but, you know, enjoyment is definitely up there. And things like the filters, you know, which I think are really terrific. The slow motion video, the fast results, all of this. It's a terrific camera, and it's like no wonder compact cameras are struggling with these sort of devices out on the market. So really, I have to say that bottom line is the iPhone 5S camera does live up to its hype. It's excellent, and it is worthy of you know, being the compact camera you carry in your pocket. Story number three, a Ziploc bag. This is something that I just think everyone should have in their camera kit. And I like the 1 gallon size, the bigger Ziploc bag. It has so many uses. You know, it has obviously when it's wet outside use. to where you can put your camera in it and be working, and cut a hole in it, maybe just for the lens to stick out, and then have the back of the bag open and then be shooting and so forth. And this works particularly well with cameras where you can compose on the LCD. So you just have that opening there, you looking at the LCD, got the lens pointing out the hole in the front, and you can take pictures. Really a great situation. When you're in super dusty environment, and you can put your bag in there, seal it up, and you don't have to worry about dust getting in there when you have your cameras out and so forth, and then just take them out when you're going to use them, put them back in the bag, and really limit your exposure there. If you're shooting in really cold conditions, then what you want to do is, while you're outside, put your camera in the Ziploc bag, zip it up. Then when you go inside, let the camera warm up before you take it out of the bag. If there is going to be any condensation, the condensation will form on the bag, on the outside of the bag, not on the camera. And again, it just helps kind of protect your camera a bit from condensation. So there are all sorts of just terrific uses for Ziploc bags, not to mention, you know, if you have to carry something, right? Not to mention if you accidentally rip open the bag of Doritos and the bag is no good anymore, and you go, hey, I got a Ziploc bag here, put the Doritos in that bag, and, you know, you're good to go. No harm is done. They just, I know, it's true, though. You know, just because it's in your camera bag doesn't mean it always has to be for photography use. So I just think that having the gallon Ziploc bag in your camera bag, it doesn't take up a lot of room, is just a handy thing to have. And I tell you, if you put one in there and carry it around, within a year, something will come up and you'll be glad you had it. And you'll use it. And hopefully you'll think a nice thought about me when that happens. So that's just a little camera tip for this week. We have a new photo assignment. Now, the last photo assignment is up right now. I just pushed it up just like, you know, a few hours ago. So it's ready for you to view. The photo assignment that's online and live right now is Street Scene. You got to take a look at it. And then we have a new photo assignment for October. And here's the photo assignment. This is a new one. My house is my castle. That's the photo assignment for October. My house is my castle. So you could do all sorts of stuff with this. Things that, you know, that inside your house, outside your house, you know, obviously something that you really feel fond feelings about. But my house is my castle. That is the photo assignment for October, sponsored by the good folks at Sizzle Picks. And by the way, you got to make sure you tune in to the show next week, because I'm going to announce three Sizzle Picks winners from the photo assignment. Who knows, you might be one of them, and that will be on next week's podcast. We'll announce the winners from the last three photo assignments. So that's going to be good stuff, and each of those photographers will get a free Sizzle Picks. And it's something that you can hang on your wall and share with your friends. You could give it as a gift. You could do all sorts of stuff with it. But it's like a retina display that you can hang on the wall. It is so beautiful. And you just, whatever goodness you have in your image, the Sizzle Picks will find it all and have it right there, accessible to every set of eyes that sets gaze upon it. So it is just a beautiful thing. It's made out of polished aluminum. The image is infused on there. It's an environmental process, and it just will hold up. You can put it in a bathroom, turn on the shower, steam up the whole bathroom. Don't have to worry about that Sizzle Picks on the wall. And if you need to, you can wipe it down with a towel and it'll be just fine. These things are fantastic. SizzlePix.com. And they have a tile on every page of the digital story. And I also need to mention our good friends over at Red River Paper right now. As I have been saying the last few weeks, now's the time. Stock up on your paper, stock up on your ink. I had an emergency printing job on Saturday, And, you know, I usually do a pretty good job of keeping, you know, my ink up to snuff. But this, my darn Epson, I'd get one cartridge in there and it would take it. And then it would say another one went dry and I'd replace it and say another one went, it was just driving me nuts. Finally, it got to the yellow cartridge, which I did not have a backup for. And so then I had to switch to a different printer that I didn't want to switch to because I did not have a backup yellow cartridge. Don't let that kind of stuff happen to you. Make sure that you have your ink and your paper ready to go. So when those print jobs come out of nowhere, and they do, you're ready to go. You can see the job through, and then of course, you know, reorder whatever you use up during the print job itself. But you want to have those things on hand. Red River Paper can handle both the ink cartridges and the paper for you. And they have a rocking Facebook page over at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and they have a tile on every page of Digital Story. Red River Paper. Save about 40% on paper because they make the paper and they sell the paper. And last but not least, I want to mention, have an Aperture workshop coming up on November 16 and 17. If you want to be a part of it, just send an email to me, Derek@thedigitalstory.com. I'll get you the information. I ran a little long this week. Sorry about that. But hopefully you found it entertaining. And that will do it for me. Come back next week. More stuff. Oh, and I got a big announcement in October. It's going to be a crazy month. Sizzle Picks winners next week. Come back. I'll meet you back here. Same time, same channel. And then we'll take it from there. Until then, have a great week. Go take some pictures. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments. Email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.